We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome. My name is Marshall Blessing. I am the care pastor here at Redemption Church. I'm so glad to see you all here in church this evening. I am very glad for any of you watching out online. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind, please leave some sort of reaction, a like or a heart or a comment, preferably without swear words. And just let us know you're out there, all right? We appreciate you, folks. We like knowing that you're out there. And if this message blesses you or blesses any of you, it will be available online so you can share it with your friends and say, hey, check this out. I've got a coworker that doesn't go to church anymore, but I say, hey, man, I got to preach on Sunday. And he's like, I think I might like to check that out. And he watches them. So you can reach people by sharing videos. You can help Christ to reach people. So go for it. Give it a try. All right. Welcome back to week 3 of our October sermon series. What's the title?
Spooked.
Whoa! Yeah, that's right. Spooked. All right. So I want to ask you a question. What are you scared of? What scares you? Last week, Pastor Chris went through a couple different phobias, and we had to guess what they meant, what they were a fear of. So here's a couple more. Chlorophobia. Fear of clowns. Yes, that's a good one. That's not mine. We're getting to mine. Okay, what about triskaidekaphobia? Boom. Fear of the number 13. All right. Now, what about thalassophobia?
Fear of the book of Thessalonians.
No, good guess. No. So, this one's, I don't know how rare it is. It's a little unusual, but this is a real thing. Fear of giant sea creatures.
Of course.
Yes. Pastor Chris was very brave and transparent last week to tell us he's afraid of heights.
Yep.
I am afraid of giant sea creatures.
Megalodon.
I trust you guys. I love you. I'm not afraid to reveal my innermost fear to you. That's not a joke. For real. It creeps me out. So we're taking a look at some common sources of fear. I'm trying to be transparent here. Come on. All right. We're taking a look at some common sources of fear. So far in this series, in week 1, we talked about the fear of man and woman. In the second week, last week, we talked about the fear of the supernatural. You guys better go back and watch that video. That was a good message.
Yeah.
All right. So, church, I'm being transparent. I have to confess. I hope you don't run me out of here as soon as I say this, but I really like horror movies. I really like scary movies. All right. Oh, sorry, I got to go. Okay. No, but regardless of how you feel about horror movies, God can use all things for good. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It's true. And horror movies are partly responsible for me being a part of Redemption Church. Dig this. Way back in the Bronze Age, like this was back in 2006, I think, I was going to a church that was a little unusual for me. They played like more upbeat music. You could wear whatever you wanted. The people were loud. People were shouting back. I come from a very button-down kind of church. So I was a little bit out of my element, but it was kind of cool. I could see God working. And then after it, the leader of the praise band came up to me and said, hey, man, you know what? On Wednesday night, we got this thing. We get together at somebody's house, and they serve food, and we do a little Bible study. It's usually a great time. It's always a great time. I would like you to be there. And you know what? I want you to be there so much, I'll give you a ride. I'll pick you up and take you to it so you don't have to worry about finding this person where they live. And I was like, so free food, and you'll give me a ride to go get it. You're speaking my language. All right, I'll do it. So on that Wednesday evening, a young Chris Fluitt, a young, still unmarried Chris Fluitt, pulled up in his red Ford Explorer, and I climbed in, and then we started driving and start trying to make awkward conversation. And I think Chris led with, "So, do you watch The Walking Dead?" And so I was like, "Huh? Well, see, because I like horror movies, all right? But I'm like, is this a trick? If I say yes, is he going to pull over and kick me out?" Like, so I was like, "Well, I haven't seen a lot of The Walking Dead because I don't currently have a television, but I've seen the trailer." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that was pretty good." And I was like, "Yeah." And then, so it seemed like a safe place. I was like, "But I should be more into it because I like zombie movies." And so then he was like, "Really? Like 28 days later?" And I was like, "Yeah, but also more like Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, but the old one, not the remake." And he's like, "Yeah? Well, what about Return of the Living Dead?" And so we went back and forth. And as this went on, I started to get the feeling like I could make, there's a place for me at a church where the worship leader could go through every single zombie movie in creation. All right? So now flash forward to 2019, I'm the care pastor. Hey! All right. So the moral of that story, be real. Be yourself. You are unique, and God can work with that. God can use that to connect to other people. All right? That's just a bonus. Anyway, I like horror movies. Okay? The best part of that car ride, too, was at the very end. Pastor Chris turned to me and he goes, "Do you want to see something really scary?" And then he turned away. He's like, "Ah." And then he turned back and it was this horrible blue face. No, that was Twilight Zone the movie. Yeah. Sorry. Forget that part. Anyway, that's a horror movie joke for Chris. Yes. Anyway, I like horror movies. I have seen a lot of them. I want to ask you, what is the scariest part of horror movies in general? What's the scariest part? Is it the monster? Is it the creature? The horrible mutant thing with tentacles and claws and teeth that can just tear you to shreds? Is it the relentlessness of the monster that no matter what you do, you cannot stop it and it will eventually get you? No matter where you go, no matter how hard you try, it's going to get you. Is it the movies that have more of a human monster, where it's not like some creepy supernatural thing, it's just a person that ends up doing terrible, terrible things? Because those remind us of what we're potentially capable of. Like, a human being did that. Is it the gore? When the cops get there and they're like, oh man, that's the worst I've ever seen. And then the camera pans around and shows the guy and all his guts are hanging out and it's awful. There's blood everywhere. Is that the scariest part?
It's pretty scary.
Is it the jump scares?
Yeah.
So those always get me. Is it the idea? Sometimes in the movies, they sort of have this idea that if you say the creature's name or the monster's name or you even think it too hard, then it will manifest itself in your life. And then, as you're watching the movie, you're like, I thought about it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no, don't say his name. No, no, no. Is that the creepiest part? Nope, it's none of those things. None of those things. Turn to someone nearby and tell them, I don't know. That's right, that's it. Good job. The scariest part of horror movies is the unknown. So today, we're going to be talking about the fear of the unknown. The unknown can be terrifying. In movies, it's the nervousness that the killer is hiding somewhere nearby, but you don't know where. It's, you know he's out there. He could be right next to you, but you just don't know. You know he's going to strike, but you don't know where or when. It's the fear of the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You know something really bad's going to happen, but you don't know when or where it's coming from. The unknown is much scarier than the monster. The scariest parts of the movie are sort of beginning to middle, where the villain is doing things. It's eating people, or it's turning them into dried out husks or whatever it's doing. But you don't see it. You haven't seen it yet. You don't know what it is. Maybe you saw just a wisp of hair or a shadow, but you don't see the monster. Then when you do see the monster, you're like, that's it? That's a guy in a suit. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But before then, you don't know. It's unknown, and your mind can fill in all kind of terrifying details. The fear of the unknown manifests in different forms. Were any of you ever scared of the dark when you were a kid?
Yes.
Are you maybe scared of the dark now still? Like when you have to take out the trash at night? And when you get outside the lights from the porch, and then you hear sound. And so you walk fast. You know how that goes. That's why you train your kids to take out the trash. Fear of the dark. The dark is scary because we don't know what's out there. We can't see it. The horrible thing could be just 10 feet away, but it's so dark I can't see. Is that big mass in the corner of my room in the dark, is that a horrible goblin crouching waiting for me to fall asleep so it can pounce on me? Or is it a pile of dirty laundry? It's probably the second one, but I can't see to make sure. I just don't know. What about this one? This is a pretty big fear, the fear of death. For a lot of people, that's a terrifying thing. A lot of people have a fear of death, especially if they don't know Jesus Christ. Because without that, what happens? What is going to happen? I know it's going to happen to me, but then I don't know what happens after that. And I'm scared. So the fear of the unknown, it can take many forms. I got bad news for you, church. You're xenophobic. Turn to someone and say, you're xenophobic. I went there. Yes, the word xenophobic has been used a lot in the news recently. But what does it really mean? So I went to fearof.net. Sounds reputable. It defined xenophobia the following way. Xenophobia is the irrational sensation of fear experienced about a person or a group of persons, as well as situations that are perceived as strange or foreign. It is the fear of anything that is beyond one's comfort zone. Can you relate?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever get uncomfortable when you're not in control? Or when you're not sure what's going to happen? Do you get nervous when you don't know? Yeah. We all do. And it's God's fault. Because he gave us this wonderful thing called an imagination. When we're kids, kids use their imagination all the time. This week, my kids were pretending to be big floppy catfish. They watched The Fishing Master on Netflix or something. And so then I had them and they're flopping around and I got to get them in my boat. It's silly, childish things. Kids have beautiful imaginations. And then we grow up and we still got our imaginations. But as we get older, we tend to misuse it. What if? Do you ever play the what if game? Kids play it.
Oh, yeah.
They come up with all kind of weird scenarios and imaginary. What if I had a pony with wings that shot gumdrops out of its eyes? Whoa! Like, so I'm a comic book nerd. Y'all know it. Marvel Comics had a whole series of what if stories. And now they're making a show out of it. But they went through all kind of different permutations. What if Dr. Doom became the Thing instead of Ben Grimm? What if Aunt May was Spider-Man? What if Galactus was pregnant? Like anything and everything. It was all very strange, and it's coming to the Marvel streaming platform. But we play these what if games. When we face the unknown, our minds can fill in the gaps with the worst case scenario.
Right.
So now we play a new kind of what if game. I'm going along. I got I got a weird pain. Uh-huh. It's probably I just slept wrong. But what if it's cancer?
Yeah.
We do that.
Right.
I got a good job. I like it. But what if my boss really thinks I'm doing an awful job? He just hasn't told me yet. I'm about to get fired. And then I'm going to be on the street. And right?
Yeah.
We can let our fears run away with us.
Yes,
I'm saying goodbye to my kids. I'm going off to work. But what if I get in a horrible car accident on the way to work? And this is the last time my family and I will ever see each other. It's we play less healthy what-if games as adults. When we face the unknowns, our minds can fill in the gaps with the worst-case scenario. In some ways, that can be prudent. It is good to be careful and to anticipate problems. That's good. That's all right. But taken to the extreme, it can be debilitating.
That's right.
We all face the unknown every day. If we imagine that it is always filled with the worst of the worst, our lives would be terrifying. Fear prevents. Fear prevents us from doing things. Fear prevents us from being who God has called us to be.
Right.
Let's get to the Bible, all right?
Yes.
Let's look at an example from Scripture. It's from one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Judges. So the book of Judges has some weird stories in it. I would not recommend that you base any part of your theology exclusively on something in the book of Judges. But if you want action and romance, the book of Judges got it. All right. So today we're going to be looking at the story of Gideon. You may remember his victory. You may remember the fleece. Fleecing of the Lord, sort of famous. But there are a few details that tend to get forgotten. So here's the backstory. Israel had strayed from God. They'd started worshiping idols and doing things that God didn't like. And so God allowed the Midianites to come in and start assaulting Israel. Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 5. They, the Midianites, came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Okay, that is a problem. The danger is known, and it is reasonable to be afraid of an army that cannot be counted.
Yes.
Now here is God's solution. Go into verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Is that the place where you normally thresh wheat?
No.
So why was he threshing wheat in a wine press?
To hide it.
Because he was scared. And so he's back there, man, I hope they don't show up. Maybe I get to eat today. And then this angel shows up and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Does this sound like a mighty warrior?
No.
Mm-mm. No, not so much. So, verse 13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Verse 14, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" So Gideon knows of the mighty things that God has done, the mighty things that God can do.
Yes.
But he's still kind of scared. And the angel is like, "Go in the strength you have.
Yeah.
I'm sending you. Am I not sending you?" And Gideon's like, "Oh, kind of wished you weren't." But Gideon continues, "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Okay. Bold. Well, so long story short, Gideon then prepares a meal for this angel. The angel touches it with its staff, and it erupts into flames. So we jump to verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." So now he realizes that he's really been sent by God. Okay? And then, verse 23, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die.'" Are you listening, Gideon? Did you hear what he said? All right. So now, jump ahead a little bit further to verse 25. "That same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering.'" Gideon does it. He tears down an altar to a false god. He cuts down a pole used to worship a false god. He builds an altar to the real God. He burns the pole to offer up a burnt offering to the true God.
Yeah.
But now, how do you think the people that used to worship at that altar to the false god felt about it?
They
were very angry. They were ready to kill him. But Gideon escapes. So now he's been through a life-threatening situation. He knows that God can do mighty things, and he knows that God has sent him. But then, when it's time to deal with the Midianites, he's not so sure. So, if you jump ahead to verse 36, "Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said.'" And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. So after all of that, that happened before, Gideon says, "I don't know. I need a miracle to be sure. Huh? Can you make this miraculous event happen? Then I'll know."
Yeah.
And God does it.
He does it.
Okay. So we should be ready to go at this point, right? He should be ready.
Yes.
No.
No.
Verse 39. "Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew.' That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew." What? Do we do this?
Yes.
This seems absurd, but do we do it?
Yes,
indeed. We've seen God do amazing things in the past. We believe in him. God calls us to do something, and we're not so sure. I don't know. God, is that really you? Do you really want me to do that? Maybe if you show me a miracle, I'll know it's you. Okay. And then he does it. Sometimes he really does a miracle. And then we say, "Well, yeah, but that might have been a fluke. Maybe, can I get one more miracle?" Yeah. Yes, we all do that. And we do it when God calls us to do much less threatening things than fighting an army that cannot be counted. We do that when God calls us to share our faith. Why? Why do we do this? Because there is so much we don't know. And we're afraid of the unknown. What if it doesn't work? What if I look stupid? What if I do it wrong? What if they think I'm a weirdo? What if? Child, where is your faith? In the first week of this series, Pastor Chris mentioned that fear is faith in the wrong things. When we fear something, we have more faith in its ability to harm us than in God's ability to protect us. When we fear the unknown, we are putting our faith in things that do not exist. And we're putting that faith above our faith in God. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Gideon was the one called to deliver his nation and defeat this oppressive army. But he almost let his fear of the unknown prevent his country from getting saved. What are you doing? What are you doing? What is fear preventing you from doing? What has God called you to do, but you haven't done it because, well, I just don't know. But if you're lazy, like me, fear of the unknown does make a great excuse. Let's look at some wisdom from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 13. The sluggard, the lazy person, says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. I can't go out. I can't go out. Something bad might happen. There might be a lion outside. There might be something dangerous. So I'll just stay on the couch and watch more Netflix."
Yeah.
Yeah. If your goal is to watch more Netflix, then that makes a great excuse. Well, I can't go out. There might be a lion outside.
Yes.
I can't step out on faith. Something bad might happen. Stop it.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, God has called you to do mighty things. And you are letting your fear of things that don't exist prevent these mighty things from taking place. Get going. And if there is a lion outside, we'll defeat it. God is with you. That lion should be afraid of you. Look. Look, I know. It's not always easy. There is a lot we don't know. This world can be a dangerous place. And there is an enemy out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But what do you put your faith in? There is a lot that we don't know. It is unknown to us, but it is known to God. You know what else we don't know? We don't know the incredible things that God can do through us. Back to the story of Gideon. So now Gideon is convinced, and he raises an army. But God says, nope, that's too many people. Gideon, your army is too big. Judges chapter 7, verse 3. This is God talking. "Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Take note. When God has something that he wants done, if you're too afraid, he will let you go home. He will find someone else to get the job done. But you're the one that's going to miss out. Now, remember, they are preparing to fight an army that is impossible to count. And now Gideon is down from 32,000 men to 10,000 soldiers. Guess what? That's still too many! So God has Gideon tell the soldiers to go and drink some water. And some drank it with their hands, but a few put their faces down and lapped it up. Verse 7, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go home.'" What? What? 300? How is that going to work out? What is going to happen? I don't know. But I know that God is at work, and with him all things are possible.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It gets even better. Go to verse 16. "Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside." What? Wait, what? Where's the swords? What's going on? All right, men. I know we're vastly outnumbered, but we will defeat them with superior weaponry. Here's a trumpet. Here's a jar. Be careful. There's a torch in there. All right, let's go. I don't know how this can possibly work out. The truth is, it can't. Except God is involved, and so it does. Amen. So, Judges chapter 7, verse 20. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. And they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Verse 21, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Who is afraid now? The Midianites, this army that's countless, is terrified. They're running for their lives. But wait, verse 22, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords as the army fled. The Midianites were afraid of the unknown.
Yes.
How many soldiers are out there? I don't know. Can we beat them? I don't know. Should we run away? Yeah, probably.
Yes.
And they were so scared that they drew their swords and started attacking each other. I'm running for my life, and I'm going to murder anybody that didn't get out of my way fast enough. Do you get this picture?
Yes.
They're terrified.
Yes.
They started killing themselves. Gideon's army didn't even have to fight.
Yes.
He just needed 300 guys to blow trumpets, and the Lord did the rest.
Yes. Thank you.
Again, take note. If you give yourself over to fear of the unknown, you will start destroying yourself. That's worthy of noting.
Yes.
But did you see what God did there? That victory was impossible.
Yes.
It could not have been known ahead of time.
No.
If you're afraid of the unknown and you're not going to act until you know how it will work out, then you are not going to act.
That's right.
And if there is going to be a victory, it will come through somebody else. And there might not be a victory at all. If you're afraid of the unknown, know this. God is mighty, and he can handle it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But what if it's like this? God can handle it. But what if it's even worse than that? God can handle it. But what if there's a lion? God can handle it. Jesus is the lion, and he's on your side. Get going. It's like in our memory verse. We can't know what's going to happen. We let the things that we do know block us and cause us fear. In our memory verse, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, when I pass through the river, I know what's going to happen. It's going to sweep me away. It's going to wash over me, and I'm going to drown. No, God says when you pass through the river, it will not wash over you. When you walk through the flames, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to burn up. No, God knows what's going to happen. If you're afraid of the unknown, God knows. He is mighty. He is with you. Who could have imagined what God was going to do through this timid little guy that was threshing wheat in the wine press? Who could have known that? God did. And that's our problem. We are so fast to imagine the worst and so slow to imagine what God can do. We can imagine all the things that the enemy can do. But thinking God might be able to help, that he might be able to do something, nah, that's a waste of time. That's just silly. No!
Jesus.
Too often, we have it so backwards.
Yes.
Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Man, it's telling us we can't even fully imagine all that he can do in us and through us. Is there stuff out there we don't know? Sure. Yes. There always will be. But can God handle the worst of it?
Yes.
Because he made it all in the first place. So I wanted to make sort of a Venn diagram kind of picture where this circle is all the things you can imagine, the worst that you can imagine. And then this bigger circle around it is all that God can do. But my problem was I couldn't draw the circle big enough. So I made this picture instead. So the background there is the universe. And one of those little bright specks is a galaxy that has millions and millions of stars in it. And around one of those stars is a planet. And on that planet is you and your imagination and all the things that you could think of and worry about. Now zoom back out. You see that big universe? God made that. He made everything in it. And he's bigger than it. And he can handle anything that goes on in it. If you want to use your imagination, think about all the things that God can do. He's got solutions that you would never think of in a million years. And I've experienced that. God has come through for me in ways that blew me out of the water because I never saw him coming. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Don't fear the unknown. Amen. Thank you, God. Don't fear the unknown. Get excited about the unknown. I don't know what God's going to do next, but I know it is going to be awesome. Amen. Fear prevents. Fear inhibits. Fear holds you back. What is God calling you to do, but you're holding yourself back because you don't know what's going to happen? Stop imagining the worst case scenario and start imagining all the incredible things God can do through you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. Come on, mighty warrior. God can use you in ways that you have never even imagined. Just trust him. He is with you. Be bold. It's time to take that step of faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And you have an opportunity right now to take a step of faith. You know how we do things here. At the end of service every week, you are all invited to come up and stand at this altar and spend some time talking to God. Ask him about that thing you're worried about. Find out what he thinks of you, mighty warrior. Come and talk to him today. Lift up those things. If you're afraid of the unknown, you can talk to the all-knowing one right now. These altars are open. Come and talk. Ask him what he's calling you to do. And then see if you can summon the courage to do it. If you would like special prayer, stand within 2 feet of this platform, and we would be glad to pray with you. But spend some time today. Take a step of faith and pray.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.